Thank you for joining us. This is Tony Infantino, and this morning I'm with the head of school at the Harley School, Larry Fry. Hello, sir.
Tony, it is great to see you in person like normal people. My goodness.
It's been a heck of a year and a half, hasn't it?
It really has, and in schools it has been, well, let's put it this way. Everybody needs a vacation.
My wife and I talk about this a lot because she was a teacher for 15 years. Yeah. School of the arts, yeah. School of the walls. And she can't imagine if she had to go through what teachers are going through, you know, over the last year and a half. And parents. I mean, our kids are growing and out of the house.
Yeah.
It's so I can't even imagine what it's been going through. So what's next? That's the question. What's next for education?
Well, you know, people are going to want to go back to normal, quote unquote. I don't think that's really going to fully happen.
Yeah. Or do you think this year?
Well, I don't think it should happen, frankly. Mm-hmm. So I think we learned a ton through the course of the pandemic. One thing is that, you know, personal relationships, being close to the kids, getting to see their body language, there's nothing that replaces that.
Yeah, no substitute for that.
That said, we as a class of people, as it were, school people, got really good at tech really fast.
Yeah, you had
to. We didn't know how well we could do until we were really, you know, kind of forced to by the pandemic.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is that, you know, access and fairness, as it were, the pandemic laid bare how different it is to have a lot of great tech, a lot of great access, to have Wi-Fi all over the house and not.
Yeah.
So the fact that some kids didn't have that and some did really laid bare some of the things that were already there in terms of, you know, access and equity.
But there was no denying it.
But there was no denying it, and it really made it acute. I think for some students who didn't have access, they really will think of this in some ways as a lost year.
Yeah. Are kids going to be able to catch up? I mean, are we going to send kids to the next grade or college who aren't ready?
I actually think that they will catch up. But, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this before, the question of is the mind a vessel to be filled or is it a fire to be ignited is an animating question in education.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about filling vessels, mm-hmm. which is thinking of kids' minds as, you know, you screw the top off their head and jam it full of factoids and then put the top back on and then test them, you know, if that's what you think learning is, mm-hmm. then it's going to be hard to catch up.
Right.
If, however, what you're trying to do is light fires in kids, passion around learning, curiosity, all of those sorts of things, I actually think there's plenty of time to take care of those things. Yeah, I do. And in fact, I think there are some ways in which the pandemic gave kids an opportunity because it was boring at home for them,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we were kids, Tony, we had times in the summertime when it was boring because we weren't programmed constantly.
Right.
And so we would invent things or we would take an interest in things in the house that otherwise, excuse me, we wouldn't have time to do. That happened for our kids during the pandemic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there are some upsides to it, actually. But by and large, I think there's still time for kids to become passionate about things that they love, and to, as it were, make up for that kind of lost time.
Are we in a good place as far as, I'm trying to ask this in a general way, but I mean, are kids eager, I guess is the question, or is it like, okay, I've been doing this at home. Why do I got to be in school? Or
I think kids are really eager to be back in school. The experience of the pandemic really made it clear that personal relationships, social connection, emotional connection is something that kids cannot live without. And that's common sense, right? But when we talk about schooling, we tend to focus on the intellectual. We tend to focus on content. And in fact, there's, as any parent knows, certainly, and any teacher knows, you have to have a connection with a student. The student has to trust you, and they have to feel like they're understood, known, and supported by their teacher before they can really move on to those intellectual
aspects. I mean, I married a teacher, and I think, and I've got a certain fit. I was actually going to be a teacher. When I was in high school, I had an English teacher who changed my life, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I was going to follow in her footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
And then I walked into my college radio station and said, oh, never mind.
Yeah.
But, and I remember that, I still think about it every so often, the day that I felt validated by, you know, an adult.
Yeah.
Okay? And I was giving a presentation in class, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw her, like, tilt her head, and to me, what she was saying with that says, wow, this is really something. This kid's got something going on here. And that felt so good to me.
It's unbelievably powerful to be able to convey to a young person that I know you, I get you, and I want to tell you about something I see in you that's really special, or the potential that I see in you, or that you're, you know, you're capable of great things. That means an enormous amount to a kid. So that's kind of first, honestly.
So do you see full return to classrooms this fall?
Well, at the Harley School, we have been fully in person for the last third of the year.
Okay, how's it going?
It's gone great. I'm not counting it. My goodness. It's gone very well. It has been, you know, a slightly compromised version of what we do because we have to literally keep distance between people.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that it's a literal description of what we're doing, but there's a figurative impact to it, right? Distance is not good.
No, we're social animals.
We're social animals. Kids want to be together. Yeah. They want to, you know, lean up, you know, shoulder to shoulder and laugh and learn from each other.
I can't even imagine being a teenager, middle school, okay, where you're really forming some, you know, friendships that could last a long time.
Right.
And that, not only that, but I'm thinking like even high school, you know, boyfriend, girlfriends who can't see each other for a year. You know, it's stunting that emotional growth.
Yes. And that is, there's no replacing that.
Yeah.
You know,
social media is great for that, but it's not person to person and in person.
Right.
You know, and it's I just can't imagine. I go back to, you know, if my kids were in high school or middle school right now and over that last year and a half, how they would have, you know, gone crazy and made me crazy.
Well, and what we saw in the world of independent schools and parochial schools this year were a bunch of families who made a quick decision that it's so important that my child be in person with their teachers and fellow classmates that they quickly pulled their kids out of the school they were going to and enrolled them at Harley, Mercy, wherever.
Okay.
And you know, that's because of the kind of gut level insight that, that most of us have. You don't have to read a parenting book to know that my kids need real social contact. And that without that, the learning that we think of as, you know, constituting an education isn't truly possible.
Will you, and I don't know if you're already doing this or if it's necessary, but will you ask for proof of vaccination for kids to be in school?
We haven't actually settled that question, and there's a lot of mixed signals in the world right now. So if, you know, I try to follow colleges and universities and see what they're up to. Many of them are requiring vaccination of their students for the fall, but not the people who work there.
I know, which is weird.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
Now, for us, Harley is a nursery through 12th grade school, so 3 up to 18, right?
Yeah.
And right now, it's 12 and up who can get vaccinated. Right. So for us, you can imagine a scenario in which 7 through 12 were either we required it or they were very largely vaccinated. But meanwhile, they're mixing in with students who are younger. So right now, you know, at the end of this academic year, we're in person, we're masked, we're able to do most of what we want to do. There is still social distance. I hope those requirements will be lessened.
Yeah.
And I mean, ultimately, it would be great if they were taken away entirely. So, you know, at the very least, we can see that path for the fall. I'm hopeful that it'll be better than that. I'm a bit of an optimist. Yeah. And if we get to 70%, which we're close to in New York State, plus all the folks who aren't counted in there who were infected,
right?
Then I think we have something of a chance of getting somewhat back to normal health-wise, but we'll see.
When I was a kid, I'm pretty sure you had to get the polio vaccine.
Right.
It was not a question.
Yeah.
It was not a political thing.
That was the one.
Okay, so you know, I got the thing on the shoulder, you know, the whole mark and everything. So they made us.
Yes.
I remember getting it in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Okay, and so why... Back then, they said, you have to have this, and now we're not. I mean, this
We actually could... The difference right now is that the COVID vaccines are not fully FDA approved. Okay. That's the requirement, apparently.
Okay.
So the state is not in a position to require it of school-age children. The state does require a whole bunch of other vaccines, rightly, in my view, and it would be fine with me if they were to require this, certainly. But right now, it's not fully approved. It's provisionally approved.
Okay, because I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
You know, because I remember it was not a question. You just had to get it. We all lined up.
Yeah, that said, Harley is a private institution. We could require, and Dr. Mendoza has encouraged private institutions to do so.
Yeah.
For us, it's the question of 7 through 12,
right.
And we're
and
a nursery through 12
right.
school. So that we're trying to puzzle it out. We're in touch with schools all over the country. Following the colleges, and
the
we'll make a decision.
The work
soon.
You have to do, the things, the questions you have to ask. Did you,
did
you ever think in your life that you would have to do this?
No.
You know, I mean, I marveled at the fact that we've, you know, as human beings, because animal, well, whatever, we've messed up the world so much that by breathing on you, I could kill you. I just can't get over that one. That just gets me every
well,
time.
Well, you know, you go to ed school, and there's no intro to leading a school in a pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a class they offer. So. But that's teaching and schoolwork and parenting, right?
Yeah.
It's always an improvisation. And I remember when my kids were younger, the thing that I came to understand is as soon as you're good at parenting them at one age, it's time for them to move on to a new phase. So, you know, it's always an improvisation, and the kids just need to know that they can trust you and that you're loved and all of those things. So.
I know. Actually, I think my parents had it figured out. I think they were guessing like I'm guessing, you know,
all the course, time.
Of
course.
Of course. You had talked about social emotions learning. What's that exactly?
Well, so this is also, in my view, sort of a common sense thing. And fundamentally, you have to be in a good place socially and emotionally before you can move on to sort of the intellectual activities that we mainly associate with education. So what you hear in ed schools these days is Maslow before Bloom. So that means Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs, which is to say safety, food, a roof over your head, being loved. That has to come first before you can move on to Bloom's taxonomy, which is this kind of intellectual, you know, superstructure of how learning should work. But you really have to attend to those things. And the pandemic made it super clear that we need to be in a relationship. We need to be watching that kids feel safe, that they're fed, that they have a roof over their head, all those things. And that they're known. So it's just kind of the prerequisite for really having a good educational experience.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that we haven't covered that you would like to make sure we get covered?
Well, I'm hopeful about the fall, like I said. And I do think that there are some aspects of this pandemic that that we'll look back and think, you know, actually our kids developed some resiliency. They developed an ability to be inventive in a way that, you know, if you're growing up in the 60s and 70s, you had to be.
Yeah.
And so I'm hopeful that people will look back and shake their heads about the pandemic and say, let's never do that again. But at the same time, I'm hopeful that people will think, well, some good came out of it. We learned to be better teachers. We learned to be better parents. We are reminded of fundamental lessons about you have to make sure kids are safe and loved before you can move on to other things.
Yeah.
So that's my rose-colored glasses view of the whole thing.
How are the teachers holding up?
They need a break.
Yes, I'm sure.
I am telling you. You know, having to teach in person and remotely simultaneously, which is what a lot of teachers all around our area at the Harley School had to do before we became fully in person.
Yeah.
So that changed the equation a bit. But, you know, these are incredibly smart people, incredibly hardworking, totally devoted to their kids. And even with all of their considerable powers, they were exhausted.
Yeah.
And so they are teachers everywhere. Need you to buy them a donut and a cup of coffee, and they need you to give them some time off. And that's
no
what
kidding.
I'm going to do at the Harley School.
Good for you. Good for you. I've always said teaching is a calling.
Yeah.
You know, you're a special human being. that wants to do that. I've always, like I said, I married one, and I think she's the most marvelous person on earth. And she is one of those teachers. I mean, I remember when she was teaching high school, we had a young girl stay with us for a while because she was having trouble with her family.
Yeah.
She stayed with us for months. It was great. You know, I mean, what teacher does that, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I think those are the types of teachers that are out there, people that are out there that become teachers. So.
Well, Tony, not too late for you, my friend. You could still fulfill that vision.
I don't think you want me. I could screw up more lives here.
Oh, well, there we are.
All right. Larry Fryer, head of school at the Heart of the School. Thanks for joining us.
Tony, a pleasure. Thank you.